Okay, good morning, everyone. So, as you heard, my name is Shaul, and I am married to my beautiful wife, Jessica. It's 1 year and 1 week exactly. So I know we still have a far journey to catch up to a lot of people on Uncle Roger and Auntie Raven. We're far away from there, but we're going to get there. And I trust it. And it's the first week that Mr. and Mrs. DeVet is back. Yeah, like celebrating them as well. Yeah, hey, welcome terug. This morning, I'm very excited to share with you guys, and I actually struggled with this word. I struggled to write this preach, and normally writing preaches is one of my favorite things to do, believe it or not. And preparing for this one was really difficult. I spent a lot of time with God. I'm like, God, what must I talk about? Where must I go? What are you busy saying? Where are you going? And every day I woke up with something new, which is not a bad thing, but it's also not great because you have to write something and you have to prepare. And before I get into and jump into what I'm going to speak to everyone about today and what's on my heart, I firstly want to say I am super, super proud of all the youthies today. Like, yeah, can we give them a round of applause? From the stewardship teaching, which is a rap that it's not everyone's favorite thing to do. It's not a chicken or beef rap. It's something different. But that was done beautifully. They got the lines in the week and they prepared so well, so diligently. And then the worship team, believe it or not, it's the very first time that team played together. So I think that we can see that the Lord has added some valuable members to us as a church. Because I say to us as a church, because the youth is just as part of the church as community life and everything else. And for me, it's a privilege to lead young people that's so hungry and desperate for God. And from my side, youthies, I am super proud and excited for what God is still going to do in and through your life. And today, with the preach, I want to continue on with what Steve and Sherman started speaking about. And Steve and Sherman spoke about faith, and both of them touched on faith and what I took out of the message. And I'm going to share a bit on what I took out of the message. And then I'm going to share with us something that I feel is very key for us. And Andre's word and Barry's word is so in line with what I felt for this morning. And that is to change your perspective. If there is spelling mistakes, just understand, ek's eindelijk Afrikaans. Jessica het nie my spelfout en al gegaan nie. She actually didn't look at the preach. And for me, I'm going to touch quickly on what Sherman shared. Sherman shared about a faith that will transform you. A faith that will allow you to come to your friends and the people around you and confess your sins one to another. A faith that will take the old and bring the new. So Sherman spoke on how he had to go before his family and friends and share all of his bad baggage, like everything. And he shared on a faith that will transform you. And then last week, Steve spoke about a faith that will transform the community. A faith that people can see. A faith of us stepping out and saying, here am I, Lord, use me. A good example of that is Mornay, the person who led worship today. He started playing guitar last year, August. Yeah, he didn't know I know that, but I do. And he started playing guitar last year, August. And we've got a saying in the youth that God doesn't use the able, he uses the available. And if we're going to make ourselves available to be used by God, he will use us. I am not the best public speaker. And on the contrary, I shake when I speak. So I'm here sharing because God would use those that make themselves available for him. And Steve spoke about that faith that will transform the community. Durbanville needs to be transformed. Durbanville needs to be on fire for God. And the faith that we have inside of us, we cannot keep for ourselves because the Bible says faith comes with works. So we need to step out, pray for healing, prophesy. But I'm going to ask this question, and I want complete honesty from us all. Who here, when you heard Steve's preach, said, but Steve, you don't understand. You don't understand. Life is busy, you know? Can't worry about my neighbor. I've got financial problems. Can't worry about him. You know, my marriage is doing not so great, eh? My friends, nobody visits me. Nobody ever invites me. Who here had that thought of, Steve, you don't understand? Let's show hands. Steve, you don't understand. Oh, just Damon. Well done. So Damon's the only honest one, yeah? Because I can guarantee you that we didn't apply what Steve shared. Steve challenged us to step out. Steve challenged us to show this faith to the people around us. And the reason why I'm saying that is that all of us have this thing that we say, oh, but Steve, you don't understand. Is we all face a Babylonian experience. And in Babylon, we face a giant or two. And these giants are not Goliath. These giants are called family, friends, finances, lust, pride, arrogance. We can go on with the list, on and on. And the youthies know that I don't just speak shallow. I go deep. Because the problems are deep in our hearts. It's rooted. And when I speak about Babylon, I speak about doing things in our own strength. I know for a fact that when I, way back, when I struggled with things, I knew that I can count on certain abilities and can count on certain things. And then I would try and overcome sin by my own strength. And it's like building the Tower of Babel. And then there's the Antichrist, those that don't even believe in God. See, there's some of us that might sit here out of duty, not out of reverence and awe of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, I'm wearing all black. It's not planned, and a bit of maroon. But I want to bring good news, because I want us to change our perspective. And then there's some of us, and I'm going to speak mostly about this, that's staying in captivity. Daniel's life. If we go read about Daniel, he was a captive Israelite in Babylon. And we sometimes allow sin to captive, take us as captive. And then we stay in that place because it's comfortable sometimes to stay in captivity. It's so easy sometimes to say, ach, ek sal môre dit doen. And then it comes to spending time with God. Spending time with Jesus, getting an intimate relationship with God, because without the intimate relationship with Jesus, we cannot have this faith to change ourselves and to change the community. But then we're like, ugh, you know, it's 12, I'm not going to spend time with God now. You know, it's late, I'm tired, my body needs to rest. And then we place ourselves in captivity because we're listening to something else. And unfortunately, I'm giving all the bad news first. Ach nee, alweer. The beautiful thing about this is we've got an example of Daniel. And Daniel's response was, he was a simple man who trusted in God on a daily basis, which is why God was able to use him. My preach is not about spending time with God. It's about changing our perspective. See, in moments of captivity, our focus determines our outcome. The way we look at a situation will determine what will happen in it. So with the teenagers, if we think we're going to write math and we're not going to study, you are going to fail. That's unfortunately what's going to happen. And then we're going to look at David, because David's the only person that I can find that actually slayed this giant that we can find, Goliath. And we're going to look at David's life, and we're going to look at a couple of giants that we face. So personally, I can mention many giants that I face and that Jessica face and that we face together on a daily basis. And we get to choose to slay this giant or actually allow this giant to control us. Because if we go look at the story of David and Goliath, for 40 days, Goliath mocked the Israelites. They were captive to Goliath. He was stronger than them. He was bigger than them. The beautiful thing is we've got a savior. We've got a hope. And when myself and Jessica got married, we, she thinks I'm going to tell the one story which I'm not going to tell today. But when when Jessica and myself got married, the preach that that Kevin spoke on was about faith, hope, and love. And he shared that we are gonna help people to see faith, hope, and love. And this morning, I really trust that through my speaking and sharing with you, that you will see something of the hope of Jesus, the hope of the one that we can trust on, the hope of the one we can look to. And we'll dive into scripture right now. But before we do that, we need to face the facts that we are facing giants. We are captive to our own sins. And I'm not saying everyone. I'm saying that some of us are. I can honestly say that looking through this week, I was captive in some things. And I had to go repent, and I had to go break it down, and I had to say, Jesus, you're the way, you're the truth, and you're the life. And I want to live for you and live only for you. And I want us to this morning look at our hearts and say, are we being captive people in Babylon, facing a giant or two? Or are we a focused people? David's response to Goliath was this. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands. In youth, we always have a type of a quote or a one-liner. And my first quote would be, in battle, it's not what giant you face, but who you represent that matters. And we're going to look at scripture with that as well. But just before I go on with that, another thing that stood out for me this week was, who here can honestly say they've been caught up in a battle with a giant or two during this week? Let's raise our hands. Let's be honest. Who you can say that they felt that they were captive in that battle. They couldn't do anything. Their hands were chopped off. Let's be honest. Here's the good news. When I read this, I made it my WhatsApp status as well. The only power that lasts is the power of the gospel. There is nothing we can face that is stronger than the gospel. The good news. Our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's nothing we can look upon that is greater, more worthy, and more powerful than Jesus. And Stephen Sherman spoke about a faith that we need to possess. But the problem is that we can have this faith, but we do nothing with it. And this faith is not just for ourselves. It's to step out and show the world that our God is greater than Babylon. Our God is greater than any giant. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Andre's word was about a storm that we are in the middle of, and we cannot enter this feast because of this storm that we are facing. But yeah, the scripture says, and I didn't plan anything with Andre. I didn't plan anything with Enrico. Enrico's message was that, or word was that there's a feast for us. Here's the scripture. You have prepared a table before my enemies. In the middle of Babylon, in the middle of facing a giant, there's someone greater, stronger, and more powerful, and more worthy. That's already won and said, yeah, come enjoy me. Come and partake of me. Give yourself to me. I want to quickly ask those four youthies that I requested to do the illustration for me. Can you guys come up? The light, where are you? Zach, you want to come? Okay, Zach, you can come. All right, you're going to make it interesting. Okay, Zach, you're going to go to the back of that line. Yeah, straight down. Caitlin, you're going to go down this straight this one. The light, You're going to come this way. Come to the light. You're going to go straight down that one. Okay, you're going to look this way. Okay. Jody, you want to come here quickly? Yeah, yeah, thank you, thank you. Say, that's great. Okay. Caitlin, you are going to run to Jenna. Okay? Cameras on. Zach, you are going to run to Ruzon. Okay, remember that. Jody. Oh, yeah. Right there. The light, you're going to run to Jody. Okay. All right, but there's a little twist. The guys on that side, you're only allowed to look at your feet. No, I'm serious. Okay, can you put there? I say, if you look up, you lose. That's the rule. That's the only rule. Look at your feet. Okay. Keep looking at your feet. Doesn't matter what happens. If people laugh, you're not allowed to look up. You're only allowed to look at your feet. Caitlin, you're going to get fired. I'm just saying. All right. We are going to race now. And the first one to their partner wins. Okay. Congregation, are you going to help us to count them down? We're going to go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then go. Okay. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. Wrong person, Caitlin. Wrong person, Zach. Get to your partner. Where's your partner? All right, so Zach was the first one. Okay, we're not done. Zach, go back. The light, go back. Caitlin, go back. Back to your places. Thank you. Zach actually cheated yet at the end. He looked up to see where his partner was. That's not how it works, Zach. You have to keep your eyes on your feet, man. We have to keep our eyes on captivity. We have to keep our eyes on the giant we're facing. We have to keep our eyes on Babylon. We're facing this thing. It's so terrible. It's so bad. So we have to keep our eyes on it. But now I'm going to show you what our response should be to the words that Steve and Sherman spoke about and what I took out of it. Caitlin, you're the only one that can look up. All right. The light, you have to look at your feet. You're representing somebody that's in Babylon, looking at captivity. Zach, how's it, Zach? Are you doing good? Great. Zach, you're representing somebody that's facing a giant and cannot keep their eyes off the giant. So you have to look at your feet, no? Caitlin, you're representing our response. Okay. Again, you have to run to your partner. Okay. All right, congregation, are you going to help me with this one? I'm going to do it again. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go! Find your partner. Find your point. Well done. Okay. The light. Well done for cheating. This is the light. I saw you. Did you see how difficult it was for the light actually when he didn't cheat to find his partner? Did you see how difficult it was for Zach to get to his partner? But Caitlin could just run straight. She just ran. Poor Jenna ran away from her, but she knew exactly where to go. All right, julle kan gaan sit. Thank you. And our simple illustration of somebody keeping their head up and focusing on the target. Our response should never be looking at our circumstance and our giant and our Babylon. But our response, is looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. our response should be one of looking up to our hope. In times of facing giants, the first thing we have to do is look to Him. In times of feeling captive, Daniel's response was not to, ach nee, let ons al weer oorgevat. It was like, God, here am I, use me. David, the story of David, he gets to the battleground and he's like, why is this man mocking our God? Who is he to mock our God? Immediately, he knew who Abba Father was. Immediately, he knew who Jesus was. In the midst of all our circumstance, in the midst of all our troubles and problems, do you know who Jesus is? Is your hope found in the one that is the perfecter of this faith that we speak about? Now the question should be, is how do we do this? Many of us have been Christians longer than what I've been alive. It's true. It's very true. Ja, ek's nog jonk. But this one thing remains. In the times of Babylon, in the times of giants, our God stays the same. Now I'm going to do something interesting now and different. And I want us to all respond to that Babylon and giant we just faced. Because we all put up our hands earlier to say that we have faced a Babylon. We have faced a giant this week. And I want all of us to just, you don't need to go on your knees, but just go in a moment of worship. Just close your eyes and go, Lord, you are good. Lord, you are almighty. God, you are the powerful I am. You are the Lord above lords. You are the great King above kings. And you deserve all the glory. Father, you are the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And Father, you are the author and perfecter of our faith. Next 2 minutes, just reflect on Him. Glorify Him. Praise Him. Lift Him up. Yes, Lord, we thank you that in the moments of storms and trials and tribulations, in the moment of being captive by our sins, our desires, even the things that's not sin-related, even our hobbies, Lord, anything that's stealing away from you, Lord, that we can know, we can become still and know that you are God. Yes, Lord, we thank you that we can become still and know that you are God. The Lord Almighty, the great ruler, an author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. Our hope is found in no one else, nothing else, except Jesus. Romans 15, it's such a beautiful part of the Bible because in Romans 15 verse 8, the heading there of the chapter says, Christ, the hope of the Jews and the Gentiles. And it was Paul writing here to tell the people that there's a hope. There's a hope for us. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And remember, today is all about changing our perspective away from my circumstance, my situation, my captivity, to changing our perspective to the one that brings us hope. So that if we do this, we can walk in the faith that is inside of us. A faith that will change us from the inside out and change the community. Not for us, but for God. That revival that Steve speaks about, that he longs for. We all need to long for that thing. We all need to long for seeing people get slain in the spirit, people seeing miracles, signs, and wonders on a daily basis. But it only comes from being secure in the hope. Now, if you didn't realize that the photo in the background has been changing this whole message. And that was on purpose. Because the title of the message is to change our perspective and to focus on the not so obvious, but to focus on the one constant, the stream of living water. On top it says there, John 14 verse 6, and it's that passage that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Who wants life? Who wants to know the way? Who wants the truth? And seek Jesus. Seek Him in all that we do. When Caitlin was running, it wasn't difficult for her to know where to go, because her eyes were fixed on the prize. Jenna's not the prize. The prize is eternal life with Jesus. Sorry, Jenna. We sang that song, Jesus, You are enthroned upon the praises of our heart. This morning, I want to challenge us of that very thing, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Not just the day of our salvation, but every day. Not just the first time we meet Him. Because that was one of the key things that came out of Sherman's preach, is that we do not lose our first love. And that is Jesus.